Thank you, Professor Schumann. I'd now like to welcome up Xavier Oh, who's the Environment Manager of the ACI. Xavier is going to give an airport perspective.
Good afternoon, everyone, and it's a pleasure to be back. And as you can see, I'll be talking about adaptation and some of the issues that airports are starting to look at. This session is quite different to the rest of the whole colloquium, which is really looking at mitigation and how to avoid climate change, whereas this session is looking at what people are going to be doing in the face of it. So I'll be talking about firstly, mitigation versus adaptation, a few issues with climate change in airports, the issue of changing business conditions, and some of the challenges facing airports. So I borrowed this slide from the IPCC, and it really demonstrates the difference between adaptation and mitigation. In the bottom right, we have the changes that need to be take place in order to reduce emissions, which are represented on the bottom on the left, and that's mitigation. But in the event that emissions have, or concentrations of greenhouse gases have risen, and there are changes in the climate, then as the top row indicates, the changes in climate will have effects on human activity. And in the last part, I'll talk about the interaction between the mitigation actions or the possible mitigating actions and the same human activity. So, from the IPCC, there's evidence that climate change is already taking place and certain events are increasingly likely. Sea level rise, as is shown in this chart, is probably the most certain event to occur over the next 50 to 100 years. Temperature changes, changes in precipitation, and changes in the frequency and severity of storms. This chart does indicate that with that list, there is decreasing certainty. And also another issue is that the local, certainly for airports, of course, the local issues will outweigh the global averages. So let's look at sea level rise. The IPCC predicts a sea level rise by 2100 of between 0.2 and 0.5 meters with medium emissions growth scenario. And the results for airports could result in, could include regular flooding, storm surge flooding, coastal erosion, land subsidence. And of course, these are issues for runways, taxiways, terminal buildings, as well as road and rail access routes to airports. This chart's been prepared by the ICAO Secretariat, thank you, and it really shows an indication of the airports around the world lying at less than 3 meters, I believe, that the height is. And the size of the circle indicates the approximate level of activity at that airport. So you can see it's really obviously a global issue. So for low-lying countries such as Netherlands, Maldives, Bangladesh, this is not going to be an issue just faced by the airport. It's an issue faced by the entire country. And certainly even countries that don't consider themselves low-lying certainly have low-lying areas. Airport infrastructure considerations at planning stage and considerations of future viability of existing facilities will be an important issue. Airport terminals that are being built, or infrastructure that's being built now, will last certainly more than 50 years. Runways should last more than 50 years. And if the sea level is expected to rise, then this will need to be taken into account. And the solutions are not attractive and not easy. And buildings, levees and seawalls, improving drainage, possibly involving major pumps, the elevation of structures, and even the closure and relocation of airports are likely to be needed to be taken into consideration. Temperature rise. The chart, again, is from the IPCC and shows the expected range of temperature rises not only in the next 20 year or next 20 years, but in the next 70 years, 70 to 80 years. There'll be decreased numbers of cold days and increased numbers of hot and very hot days. And this might sound attractive in Montreal. For many regions, it could have very important consequences. First of all, aircraft lift will decrease on hotter days, and there could be reduced snow removal, but there could be more frequent freezing rain conditions, which is probably more serious than snowfall. There's certainly changing seasonal demand for aviation. Local air quality could be degraded because of changing chemistry with the temperature, and in certain areas, melting permafrost base. So airport planning that may be required, or the response to these issues may include the payload limitation of aircraft in hot weather, the need for longer runways, slower climb rates, and this could affect airspace design, diversion of incoming aircraft if the temperature is too high for the incoming aircraft to land, increased cooling and demand for terminals and for aircraft when they're docked at those terminals, less snow removal, as I said, and more stringent local air quality emissions mitigation requirements. And this example has been provided to me by Avinor, Norway Aviation, who run the airports and air navigation services in Norway. And the examples on the island of Svalbard, where the permafrost has actually already changed. In 1973, the frozen ground was 2.5 meters below ground level, and that's dropped already to 4.5 meters below ground level, meaning that the existing runway is sitting now on a bed of mud that's four meters instead of the previous 2 meters, and the runway is showing signs of sinking. Precipitation changes. These charts show that typically there will be less rain in the tropics and more precipitation in higher latitudes. The two charts show the northern hemisphere winter period, and the bottom chart shows the southern hemisphere winter period. And the coloured areas indicate good matching between the different IPCC models, and the white areas show less correspondence. So the IPCC is fairly confident that the coloured areas on these charts do show the best indication of the sorts of temperatures that could be expected, precipitation changes that could be expected. So precipitation changes, obviously there's already precipitation, but with changing patterns we could face different patterns of flooding and causing runway closures, water damage, erosion and subsidence of runways and shoulders. The resulting management of increased stormwater runoff, important consideration for airports because of the contamination of ground and surface water courses, the issue of separation of sewerage and stormwater, the issue of water shortages, and even dust storms. And the example shows subsidence on a runway shoulder in Norway. Storms. The expectation for storms is increasing frequency and low pressure system events, including hurricanes and cyclones. This would cause an increase in storm intensity, including wind speed and increased wave size and storm surges. And again, storms are already occurring, of course, and the pictures show pretty graphically what can happen at an airport in a major event, and the frequency of these is expected to increase. So in Norway, they're responding by improving their coastal protection, and you can see some rock work being laid down. And even on island nations, for example, here in the Cook Islands at Rarotonga Airport, they've already installed these locally designed and produced wave protection barriers around their airport. Other issues associated with climate and weather condition changes are the delays and loss of capacity. The change in prevailing winds could affect optimal runway orientation. It's not too easy to rotate a runway. And interruption of ground access. So just before I conclude, I'd like to look at the other issue of adaptation, and which is demonstrated on the right-hand side of this diagram, in that as man reacts to climate change, there's going to be changing business conditions. And this opens up another whole category of issues that will need to be addressed. The effects of climate change on seasonal passenger demand, the investment in airport infrastructure to cope with changed weather patterns, such as sea defences or building stability, the effects on airport asset values and the ability to raise capital, shortages of power, fuel, water, all of these will affect airport operations, new storage and delivery of non-drop-in alternative fuels, regulations on limitations on growth of aviation, and even aviation operations within an emissions trading cap is all going to change the business conditions under which airports operate. So some of the challenges for airports, this is very much a new field that's reflected in the fact that we've only got one session on adaptation in this whole three-day colloquium. Although in the short term the focus does need to remain on mitigation, we need to start a process to evaluate the risk assessments of all these issues at airports and for aviation in general. We need to address the uncertainty of the climate outcomes, especially regarding local effects. Recognize that although changes may be long-term, airport infrastructure is also long-term. And what you build now will still be around when these changes are really felt. We need to instigate an analysis of the effects of changing business conditions and to consider the effects of climate change on developing countries. Thank you.